Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Episode Forward Thinkers. Mein Name ist Daniel Fürck und heute geht es um die digitale Transformation in Deutschland, Österreich und der Schweiz. Ich spreche mit Michael Nylund, dem globalen CEO von Gofore, und Marc Fuchs, der die Aktivitäten des Unternehmens in der deutschsprachigen Region leitet. Beide bringen spannende Einblicke mit. Warum hinkt Deutschland immer noch in Sachen Digitalisierung hinterher? Welche Rolle spielt Vertrauen bei der Umsetzung digitaler Projekte? Und wie können Erfahrungen aus Finnland helfen, Deutschlands öffentlichen Sektor auf die nächste Stufe zu heben? Viel Spaß beim Zuhören.
In an ever-changing world, we need to keep track of what will be next. Forward Thinkers is your 48 Forward podcast to discover the future. We are talking to innovative and creative minds from all over the world to learn more about what they are working on and what they think will change the way we work and live within the next decade. Are you ready to join the ride? Welcome to Forward Thinkers.
Michael and Marc, welcome to our studio here in Munich. Welcome in Munich for you, Michael, and welcome to, close to your office, actually, in our studio. We are here today to talk a little bit about e-government, transformation, digital technologies, and projects you are working on, or projects you worked on, and also a little bit the difference between Nordic countries, Scandinavian countries, Germany, and the rest of Europe. So, welcome.
Thank you, Daniel. It's good to be here.
Yeah, same for me. Thanks a lot for the invitation.
So, just for our listeners that they are going to get used to your voices and know who's actually talking, can you give us a little introduction on what you're actually doing, where you're based, and what your personal mission is when it comes to tech and digitalization projects? Maybe Michael, if you want to start.
Sure. So my name is Michael Nylund, and I'm based in Finland, in Tampere, which is the headquarter location of Gofore, a Finnish digital transformation consultancy company. And I work as the CEO of that company nowadays since 2019. I'm really passionate about digitalizing societies, about using digital technology to make life better for all of the citizens in, well, starting with Finland and hopefully for a broader reach also here down here in Germany and Europe as in general. But yeah, that's like one of my passions, that we can use the huge potential that we have to produce welfare for people with digital technology.
Yeah. Since I have to speak English, it may be a little bit more complicated. If I could speak German, you would recognize me because I'm from Saarland, and this cannot be hidden when talking in German. Yeah, yeah. Basically, I'm since 8 months here in Germany at Gofore, responsible for the DACH region as a CEO. Yeah, before I worked for a lot of other bigger consultancy companies, but I'm really quite glad to be here. Maybe we can talk a little bit later also about this. Yeah. And yeah, basically, I'm also very interested in digitalization of public because simply it would make my life so much easier. I had to deal with such a lot of different use cases. Yeah, it would for me really create to use them online. Yeah, to have some opportunities doing this, and I would really feel it would make life much easier for everybody. Yeah, not only for me as a citizen, but also for the public authorities. And yeah, so therefore we want to make some contribution, and I think we have a good foundation with our Finnish knowledge and capabilities and for helping to establish something in Germany.
A couple of weeks ago, we had a conversation at our 48 Forward Festival about public data, digital identities, and so on, and had some interesting insights from you, but also from Denmark and Bavaria. Last year, I had a lunch meeting after Nordic Business Forum in Helsinki with the former chief digital officer of the city of Helsinki. And we've been in a conversation. Byte was also part of that conversation or that lunch meeting. Byte is the kind of Bavarian agency for digitalization when it comes to e-government and all those public projects. And we've been kind of surprised because he told us about many projects when it comes to using data, when it comes to also how open people in Finland are to provide data or provide access to personal data. And then compared to our culture here in Germany, it was quite surprising because here people are very hesitant when it comes to, am I going to share my data with the government or any authorities? And also GDPR is a topic that is like a very big thing here, and we are very careful and afraid of GDPR. And it seems like Finland found ways to work with GDPR in a way that it is not kind of destroying all kinds of digital ideas, but to, yeah, in the end, maybe even supporting them. So why is it, very long question, I know, but why is it so that Finland is able to be so much better when it comes to public data, digital identities, all kinds of e-government activities compared to Germany?
I think you're very much onto something there, discussing like data privacy and GDPR, and Finland being a much smaller country and having very different history, of course, to Germany. I think we have the advantage of having very high trust in society, having high trust in government officials, and being in general quite a trust-based, homogeneous even country with our 5-6 million people in it. So that's of course a good basis to start to build on it. I think in the end, it's also about, and especially about, what the perception of people, what the perception of Finnish citizens and people living in Finland, what do they get out of like having this trust, having the or sharing their data, allowing the data to be used in public services. We've been quite successful in providing good quality services for people that have improved their quality of life, have made their everyday life easier in many ways, and that's why people generally are quite positive into that. Of course, it's also about not having major incidents of misuse of that trust, and the government and cities like you mentioned Helsinki, in general, using this trust that people have in them in a like good way, in a responsible way. We do have had our issues. There was a data breach with the city of Helsinki just recently, of course, but the big picture is that we provide good services to people that they feel are like relevant, that provide value to them, and the trust-based society, which is a mutual thing. Also, the government like treats that very responsibly. So that's what I think is kind of the basis. Then we have a lot of more technical things that make it easier or make us more mature on our path towards being a digital society. And I see that in many cases in the German society, you don't necessarily have those, and you have like a longer way to build that digital infrastructure, the platform, if you want. To build the actual services. And that's, of course, something that takes time. It also takes money. And maybe in some cases, German states have been quite slow to want to do that. Maybe Mark has something to add to that.
Yeah, I would say in general, Germany have a little bit strange opinion sometimes regarding data protection, I think. Yeah, also in some sense, and regarding state, so sometimes they do not want to share data, yeah, but they share a lot of personal data on Instagram or TikTok, yeah, to Chinese company maybe or so, yeah. But I think at the end it's always the question: can you get something out of it? Yeah, and I think also in Germany, just consider the issue of tax handling, yeah. And I think this is a positive example of digitalization, yeah, because I think it's quite widely accepted to do it online currently, yeah, and it makes it much more easier. And also their data comes together. yeah. And this, I think, is a real positive example, and I think a lot of people use it. Yeah. And so maybe it's only just a question, what's the maturity of the services which are provided? Is there enough there? And I would agree that it will take a little bit longer maybe as in Finland. And I think a lot of Germans have trust issues a little bit, yeah. But if they feel this makes my life much easier, and I think, and there's something out of it, I think we will see some progress there. So I'm not hopeless, honestly. Yeah, I think we will see a lot of changes there.
Sometimes I've got the feeling that like our German mindset is very, whenever there's some new initiative when it comes to digitalization, any kind of e-government project, we always have this mindset that it isn't going to work anyway. It is not looking good. The user interface is not good. The whole communication campaign around it is not good. Like when I think back, like during the pandemic, all those forms you had to fill out online to get some support by the government and stuff like that. It was just like nobody took care of any kind of design when it came to that. And also the whole communication wasn't very consistent. It wasn't very clear. It wasn't very transparent. So is it maybe in the end a mix of a communication, marketing and design issue we have here?
Yeah, I think in order to be successful, I think a lot of different requirements has to be met. Yeah, as you said, of course, when using such services, they much has to be easy to use, for example. This is quite important. Yeah. Or it would be completely annoying if you have to re-enter the same data ever and ever again, for example. Yeah. So this is could be an issue. And I think all the things then put a lot of burden and some kind of disappointments, yeah, when dealing with such services. And then you will not repeat this. Yeah. And I think maybe we should really, as Mika also said, really try to lay the foundation of certain things. So we can elaborate this a little bit deeper later. Yeah. And then to start. Yeah. Because I think the worst thing always is to start with something what is not quite usable. It's annoying to be used. Yeah. And that which causes a lot of disappointment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure, this is very true. And looking at history, I've been working with like Finnish societal digitalization with the public sector much of the time for 15, 20 years now. And there was I think at the beginning, we had the same idea that you described. We had the ugly, not usable forms out there for and expected just people to can't you understand that you get benefit out of it? And it doesn't work that way. And we see that when looking at commercial digital services, they are not designed to be ugly. They are not designed to be non-usable. They are designed to be attractive and being nice to use, and that's what you need to do also for public services, not necessarily to the same extent. It's not, of course, so much of a competitive area, but still you need to do that. And 10, 15 years ago, we saw that transformation in Finland also. Earlier, it was basically IT companies not having like any interest in usability or when you go deeper into that, into accessibility and stuff like that, which we consider very important nowadays. And that changed. And we got the design understanding, the user centricity into the IT projects. And that has been a big change. And that is also part of the success story for sure.
What would you say are the most important learnings you had in all those years working on public projects, on e-government projects? So when imagine I'm some kind of German minister who wants to digitalize any kind of process in his ministry or like any kind of e-government process, and I would approach you and ask like, what are the most important things I have to take care of before starting the project?
I would probably bring up three subjects. The first would be the usability, the user centricity, that you when you design the services, you really listen to the users, you really understand what the users want, and you basically use enough time on that design phase so that you build services that are attractive, that are basically usable to the users. The other one would be to not necessarily, and at least think about the strategy, how you want to approach this, that not necessarily go about to digitalize what you already have in processes and digitalize the forms that you have at the offices that people fill out in paper. That's the way in many cases that we went via that way in Finland, that we digitalized the forms, existing forms, digitalized the existing processes. And in the end, what you actually want to do in order to leverage all of the possibilities in digital technology, you want to rethink the processes. You want to build something that is oftentimes anticipatory, that doesn't require the user to be active in now I need to fill out the form phase, but you want to build something new. The third thing, and this is something that happened in the 2010s, and this is more like IT-related stuff, the traditional way of procuring, of building IT services was very much what we in IT call the waterfall model, that you make a strict specification, design specification of what you want to buy in terms of an IT service, a digital service, and put out that for tender, and then choose the winner, wait for 2-3 years and see the outcome. And what usually happens is that the outcome is not exactly what you wanted. It's probably very close to your specification, but your specification in these abstract things and talking about IT and in a very fast-paced changing world also is not the 100% right end result. So what happened in the 2010s in Finland was a quite strong paradigm shift from using this kind of procurement model into a more like agile-based IT services or digital services building model, where we have or we take into account the nature of changing requirements, of learning along the way, and this has been very successful, I think, and when applied in a even more mature way, that also brings the idea of agile experimentation and having the, even though you are like a government office, which is usually not that much thought of in terms of being innovative and experimental, you have at least some way of experimenting with new ideas, trying out new technologies, and also being prepared to fail and learn from that. So the agile thinking, the agile mindset is also, I think, very important.
Yeah, basically, I totally agree. Also, you see a little bit, I just defend also a little bit Germany. Yeah, this is also my role. I feel responsible for this. Yeah, I think all these things, in some sense, has been understood also in Germany. Yeah, you find also here some digital labs. Everyone tries to elaborate how services could look like, involve also the people who use the process. It's not always about efficiency. Yeah, I think we also understood that agile development is quite important and all this stuff. And we understood what kind of infrastructure maybe we need. Yeah, but I would say we are just several years behind. This is basically obviously the problem. But the issue is a little bit how to gain speed for this. Yeah. And I'm not always sure if we have enough speed. Yeah. And I think it's not a problem that we did not understand it. Yeah. But in general, I think we have to look at several things like our structures in the best shape. Of course, we have a very complicated structure. Yeah, with multi-layer structure. Yeah. It's quite complicated, I think. And of course, one has to look also at such things from my point of view, like how is the sourcing organized? Yeah, of course, I know that public tendering have to be a little bit more elaborated maybe than in the private sector, and this is completely fine, but maybe think about thresholds or such things. And I think you really have to look at this, and I think speed is the key, not that we do not have, that we did not understood what we want to achieve. Yeah.
And the advantage of being maybe a few years behind is that you can, if you want to, you can learn from the ones that are the few years ahead
definitely.
Of you. And that's something that I believe is important in terms of relationships in the EU as a whole, but especially Finland, the Nordic countries, and Germany on the other hand, the German-speaking part of Europe. So that would be something to consider.
Yeah, good point. A couple of years ago, I had a conversation with Thomas Hendrik Ilves, former president of Estonia, who's also joining the festival next year. And we talked about all those topics, and I was like, but why is it so hard for other European companies to actually learn from Estonia, Finland, Denmark when it comes to e-government projects? And he was like, we are very open to share whatever you want to know or those other countries might be interested in. But they don't want to, so they don't ask. They are not approaching those that are ahead and asking them, how did you do that? At least it was like that, maybe. It was like, I think, 5 years ago when I had that conversation with him. Do you think that changed a little bit over those years? Are we now better in kind of learning from each other when it comes to some exchange between European countries?
I think so, and I especially hope so. And Estonia has been a role model. I've also talked to President Ilves at a couple of occasions, and he's been very and the whole country is very open about their success in building this, and that's been really important. Maybe Estonia has that kind of different background also from a lot of Western European countries or longer being the countries that have been longer part of the EU, that their history is kind of different so that they have the advantage of building their digital society on a clean slate, basically. This is, of course, a little bit of an exaggeration, but that's a little bit different from Nordic countries, from Germany, who already have, of course, the functioning structures there, the processes and so forth, and you can't just throw them away. So that's something that in some cases it makes the development a little bit slower. What I think and what I hope is happening now, that we have a new situation in the world and in a sense we can feel that the European Union needs to build their own like strategic technology platforms and so forth, being basically under attack from foreign powers, is that we do realize that there are things that need to happen in the single market thinking, and defense being, of course, a very, very self-evident, but the digital infrastructure being so closely related to security topics also is something that I think that the EU countries and the member states will understand now, and that there will be like real and practical steps towards a more functioning single market. Because in many cases, of course, and looking at what, for example, Gofore as a consultancy company can do in Europe, we have single market in very much in name only, because that always doesn't just happen. So I think this is something that we can hopefully see in the future, in the near future.
No, I just want to say, I think the people are quite open, yeah, to learn and to exchange. Just when considering this as a personal, from a personal perspective, we really organize a lot of different things, like making webinars for certain aspects around about digitalization of public services, or if we speak to other people, I see a lot of people are really very interested to see how have you done it, this in Finland, what can we learn out of it. So I would say, at least at this working level, I really see that a lot of people are really trying to learn and adapt things. Yeah, but as Mikael says, not everything can be transferred so easily. Maybe there are existing structures, complex existing structures, and of course you have to find your own way, maybe. Yeah, but I think it's quite a lot of willingness to learn and to exchange.
Yeah, today more or less every country builds its own solutions and invests a lot of money in those projects. Do you think there's going to be a time where we are going to see European platforms and solutions that are working cross-country?
I think we have some examples of this, and they are encouraging. We do have, for example, digital drug prescriptions that can be used across the Bay of Finland, both in Finland and Estonia. So that's something that is there in practice. You can get a prescription from either of these countries and get your drugs on the other side of the bay. So I'm pretty sure that this will happen. And another part is where we are hopefully some way along the way already is of course digital IDs, that we could use the digital ID that we have in one country as citizens of the EU in all EU countries. We are not in practice there yet, but that's of course something that needs to happen in order for other services to function also.
Yeah, I think in general, in a lot of topics, we already see this. Yeah, there are European initiatives and mostly related, would say, currently around the topic of data protection and security. Yeah, where we see, for example, GDPR, Data Act, so initiatives for digital identity, NIS2. Yeah, these are examples, basically, which is this is already on the European level. Yeah, but I would say we will also see, I would say, some more standard for also the service from service perspective. Yeah, but I would say at count state, why not? It's just working with national initiatives. I think, as I said, speed. It's important. And so I would say we are not on the wrong way, maybe. Yeah? And we have standards and certain things which are quite critical, you know, like the security issues. Otherwise, let's just move forward. So maybe it's not wrong doing this. Yeah.
Mark, you are from Germany, so you know the issues quite well from your own experience when it comes to the lack of digital solutions in public services and those things. What would you say? Is there something, imagine there are some people listening that are working on those things in ministries, in authorities, whatever. What would you say? Are there any kind of low-hanging fruits, like processes that can easily be digitalized that you would approach first?
Oh, I have to say, I have no concrete topics. I would really admit it. Yeah, if I would see if we have a concrete topic which would be so easily solved, yeah, I think it would also be has been solved. Yeah, in general, I think I see the main issue, of course, is a little bit our really complex structure. Yeah, from federal, state, and city level, and this is complicated. Yeah, I think there are also some kind of approaches, of course, in place. Yeah, like this. Einer für alle and such approaches, and I think this is basically on the right level. Yeah, but to be completely true, I think because of the complex landscape, yeah, this is not so easy to say. Yeah, just do this and you will have this outcome. Yeah, so maybe this will disappoint you, but this is also my feeling. Honestly, yeah.
The low hanging fruit. I think they are just low hanging fruit, and what you want to achieve is, of course, all of the fruit. So I think what needs to be done, even though you build maybe some easy wins, is the foundation, and you need to have the digital ID sorted out in a country so that it really functions. You need to have the registry base there so that you have the important information that is needed for several different like digital services. You have it in the registries, you have that information sorted out, good quality information that is accessible, and you need to have the data interchange layer, secure data interchange, so that you can use information across registries and in different use cases when building the actual services. So I would say that these are the things that would have to be invested in any case, and hopefully you can also find some of the low-hanging fruit.
So I could imagine if people are approaching you, they might have an idea of something they want to do. But if we are looking at the consulting part of your business, how much consulting is involved to figure out if that idea really makes sense or if there is something else that would make way more sense to approach first?
Yeah, so this basically plays an important role. Basically, GoForce capabilities we're offering is a little bit like an end-to-end digital transformation offering. And I have to say, we also need this in public. Yeah? When you look what we are doing, basically we start in quite early phases. So design thinking is a very important topic for us. We also spend a lot of efforts in providing UX, UI services. Yeah, and then we are, of course, an architectural design partner, an implementation partner, and we also deal a lot of with verification, testing, and then cybersecurity. Basically, so this is basically all you need, also in the public space in some sense. And I really have to say that a lot of time really is spent with these design thinking topics, and this is quite important also. Yeah, and so therefore, I think we are here also on a quite good way to do that. What Michael also proposed, not to just make processes more efficient, but to rethink them again in the digital world. Yeah. And so I think this is important, and we already apply these main services also in our public projects.
Yes, GoForce. Our thinking is not that we are only the consultancy that comes in when the public sector already wants to procure a bigger project and build an IT system. What we also want to provide the public sector and the public sector being a little bit systemic in nature, that you can have some area or ministry, for example, designing the roadmaps and the strategies, the where we want to go as a society, and you can have single offices then implementing that from different angles, that the same roadmap. So what we can and want to provide is this kind of strategic level thinking also, and help customers to have this governance in place in the bigger picture, so that there's not just popping up digital services from here and there, but that you build actually a common digital infrastructure with services on top of it.
if you are starting a project, if you're getting into that, one thing is like how digital are processes already and so on. But the other part is data quality and data consistency, especially if we are talking about maybe even AI projects in the end. What's the status quo here? If you are, especially in Germany, if you're working with like state governments or whatever, how good is the data quality? How good are the databases? And is the status quo good enough to work with it? Or is the first step to find a proper solution to transfer all the data and to check all the data and to optimize all the data first?
I would say from my point of view, the data is not in the right quality currently, for doing such things like, as you said, AI or machine learning or out of it, and even for operational purposes, not even sufficient. And so I would really also say in the first step, we need a lot of data cleansing, standardization, standardized formats, and this is a first step, and we are just in this process. And so I would say there's a lot of work to be done. But this is a little bit also like foundation work, as Mikael said, not only from a platform perspective, but also from a data perspective, and which has to be done. Otherwise, you will not gain the advantages then later on. And as you said, there are a lot of advantages. We had the data in a format we could really use. But I would say we are not there from my point of view.
And this is also a long way to go. I wouldn't say that Finland and Finnish society is there either yet. I know that, and we as a company have been involved in like innovation and experimental projects where we've combined bigger amounts of data from different registries and see what AI, what advanced analytics and algorithms can do on top of that. But that's on an experimental phase for many reasons, technical and of course like ethical and data protection reasons that need to be taken into account there.
And there, of course, as Mikael said, there are a lot of different questions has to be answered. And of course, the people have to know how are data exchanged? How is this data used? Have they agreed to it? And so I say, it's not done, but just putting some data together and you cannot even do it. And so we really need some kind of an infrastructure of data management, data governance platform. This is also some important issue which has to be solved first. And then you can just work with the data. Specifically in a country like Germany, where we've discussed not basically to trust so much what is done with this. So I would say a lot of infrastructure work is still open.
In Finland, we've had this official called FinData for a number of years now that is actually there for these research and more experimental type of things where you want to do that combination of data from different registries. Also there you need to be like very transparent. You need to have you need to ask permission from the, of course, the data owners, the users. But I think identified this thing as a possibility, and FinData is there to have a secure environment where we can like safely do these kinds of research and experimental projects. And I think that's something that's really, really interesting. And that's also something that's raised interest outside of Finland, especially in terms of healthcare data, which is, of course, a huge amount of data if we want to see it that way and how that can be used for like medical purposes. So that's a very interesting development also.
But there I also really have to say there my trust issues also start a little bit, with this data point. And as Mikael also said, of course, there are different layers which really have to be considered. Of course, there's a layer what kind of data, who can work with it, and all this stuff. And of course, there's this technical work. What's about security, or can you anonymize the data for certain use cases? This is an important issue like this, but also the organizational point. Of course, the main security problem are the humans typically. And I wanted to be sure then who really can work with this data. Are they really trained? Or do they know they should not print my data on the paper and lose it somewhere in the train? So this is basically the topics there. And I really have to say, I really also want to see them. Is there some overall framework for this? Are the people trained and all this? And then we can talk about doing something with this data. So I would say so there's some steps to go.
Mm-hmm. Talking about cybersecurity, no matter to what person I'm talking that is involved in public services, public applications, whatever, they are experiencing heavy cyber attacks for at least the last 2 years. It increased a lot since the war in Ukraine started. A lot of those attacks are more or less coming from Russia or China. Just had a conversation with someone working for public transportation in Helsinki, because I was complaining. I met that person at an event, and I was complaining that I'm not able to use that app in the right way because, like, the payment isn't going through when I want to buy a ticket for a train. And he was like, yeah, the issue is we, from time to time, we have to block all foreign payment providers and accounts or whatever, because the hackers are trying to block our systems or to attack our systems by using foreign accounts or whatever. So all those services are basically under attack or have a high risk to be under attack. And I think we learned that a lot over the last 2 years. So what would you say, what changed in those last couple of years when it comes to cybersecurity? And do you experience people being more hesitant in actually doing public projects because of that?
I wouldn't go that far. What we see is that everybody is, of course, more aware of this. And there's, I think, enough evidence that as you said, the amount of attacks has increased, and it has to do with the war. And that has changed the mindset quite a lot. And that has also changed that even though we are going through a little bit of a public finances problem in Finland, we do have investments into cybersecurity quite a lot. What that means for a company like Gofore is that we need to build up our, and have done that, build up our capability to help our customers in their cybersecurity efforts. And what we want to, in the end, really make sure is that every project that aims at building something in terms of digital services would have the cybersecurity aspect integrated, built into that, and from the very beginning. And that, of course, needs a little bit of then money and time in the project, but that's something that needs to be done. And I think the situation we have now has really made all buyers also aware of that, and that's the direction that this is going, kind of a shifting left of like cybersecurity issues, not as an afterthought for systems, but built into the design, designed for security. So that's the most important point there, I think.
Yeah, I would agree and not agree in some sense. Yeah, so first of all, I totally agree, of course, that the sense of including security has increased a lot in the IT systems. Yeah, I just remember I built it in the area of custom software development, I'm for more than 20 years. Yeah, and when I look what we've done before in the early years and what we are doing now, there's, of course, a huge difference. And, of course, security checks, for example, are really built in typically within the CI/CD processes. We do pen testing. We do a lot of things also for the applications. And so, in one sense, I totally agree that from the IT perspective, there's a lot of awareness, at least, and a lot of effort is done in this area. What I'm still concerned is the human factor still, yeah. Because I have seen all the security breaches I've seen in the last years with a lot of impact. This will all be because of people actions, you know, just opening attachments and all such simple stuff. Yeah, and often I'm really just wondering why there's not more awareness for this, because I really feel there could be done much more. Yeah, and so I have to say we have really to deal more with this, and the topic of cybersecurity has more in the heads than of the users also. Yeah, maybe. And this is a topic where I think we should improve. Yeah, from the IT side, I would say we are on a good way, at least, because, of course, you always have to be up to date there. And there's also, of course, a lot of effort done in cyber attacks, and they all get better, yeah? But we have also then to get better with securing the systems.
Looking at societies and their, like, digital maturity and it's not just about the technical things. It's quite a lot about the maturity of the users and the capabilities of the users. And of course, there's differences between countries. But I think in every country, there's a long way to go for people to understand these security threats, understand what are the possibilities and threats in the digital world, but also in terms of understanding, like it's simple for people to understand the straightforward linear processes that we are used to when dealing with government official or dealing with anybody for that matter. But when we go into a more ecosystem-based digital service thinking where the data is interchanged between different entities and we become more and more like the subject of that as people, it's really important that we all and we as IT professionals are of course like a long way on that, but normal people don't necessarily understand what happens behind the user interface and how the data is and can be used. And that's important that people would be more educated in this, I think, and things change very quickly and it's hard for people to yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. I think this is the major point, you know, to increase basically our levels of security. So basically when we, for example, go into projects, we do not only see this as a technical task. Yeah, we make a complete audit, for example, about all processes around. Yeah. And this is very important, I think.
What can we learn from countries like China and how does that help to find the right limits of how far we are going with digital services, with surveillance, with data and the use of data?
This is a huge topic, of course, and to simplify it a little bit, we often talk about like three models that we have. The Chinese model where government is basically calling the shots and being the benefiter or getting the benefits out of digitalizing society, the main benefits. We have the US model, which is quite useful or good for corporates that and we see that from the big tech companies that of course they do good business in a model like that and for the EU, I think we have tried to find a third way and building our societies around the benefits and the value for citizens and that I think at least for us as Europeans it sounds like the right way but the problem there of course is that when we go into implementing that, we tend to go the legislation first way. And that has left us quite a lot behind these other models in terms of how advanced we are in using that technology, how much we are investing in using that technology. And that's why, even though this in principle is the right path, we need to be sure that we also are not left behind and technically are able to follow the countries that can invest more into this kind of technology.
Yeah. As Mikael said, really a little bit philosophical question. Yeah. But I think in the European Union, of course, we always try to find a balance between economy, people, environment, and all of this. And I would say, of course, this is the harder way, definitely, compared also to China. Yeah. But I think at the end, it's the only way we can go or should go. Yeah. And so I think, I don't think that we should really try to ask what could we learn from China. I would say, let's just find our way, our European way. Yeah, in Germany, of course, we think we have to learn, and there are role models, like Nordics, for example, where we can learn. Yeah, but I think this is the correct way for us to proceed.
Do you think that a country like Germany could be in the lead of finding like a moral, ethical framework on how we are using public data, because we have all the history of misuse of data?
Yeah, of course, I think we can play a major role. I'm always a little bit skeptical when we have this approach and trying to teach others how to deal and have a better moral approach than others. So basically, I'm not a complete fan from such approaches, but I would say some sense, yes. So we really should make a lot of thoughts around these areas and we should do it. Yeah. And of course, we can show others like we do it. But then it's maybe a little bit of a different approach just to say, I want to teach you. Yeah. But of course, you can show it. Yeah. From this point of view, I would agree. Yeah.
Hmm. Maybe final question to you, Mikael. If you look at all those great technologies and innovations that are coming to our world and that are getting more and more relevant, maybe also for public projects, what do you think are the most promising technologies that are maybe already here or are coming up or are getting use or can be used in the future? What do you think is the most promising thing that excites you the most?
For me, I'm not going to be that forward-leaning here. I think it's we have so many things to do still by using what we basically already have, combining the data that we have about people, about businesses and so forth. And what is a big topic in Finland now where we are just taking the first steps actually is something that we call the life event-based services or business event if we talk about the company world. So that we build anticipatory services for certain phases in a citizen's or a person's life. Like, that's why we talk about the life events. And this will be a paradigm shift from the traditional way of thinking about public services, where we have the kind of like a production-centric thinking about it. We have a certain governmental office that produces or provides a certain kind of service. And we as citizens in more complicated situations which our lives tend to be, we need to understand where we go to get that service. And we are the like active party in that. And we could transform using already the technologies that we have it into a more anticipatory situation where, for example, when your child starts school, which concerns a lot of different government officials or city officials, you could get that in an anticipatory manner. And this is something that I feel is really there to be taken advantage of and something that in the coming years, I expect us to get a lot of benefits from.
Mm-hmm. Mark, what do you say?
Yeah,
what
basically, do you think? Yeah, basically, Mikael just told you what I also was hoping for at the beginning in my first statement, yeah, to make my life a little bit easier, yeah. And I really think that we should focus on such kind of services like these life event services. But I also feel that maybe the public is also not good at marketing in some sense, yeah. And so I think we have to better promote such kind of services to get them more in the field. And I think basically there's even more there than a lot of people know. Yeah. I used my first digital public services just 1 year ago or so. Of course, this is a little bit disappointing and because I'm also a digital guy. Yeah. And I think we should ask why is this the case and why nobody knows what is even there. Yeah. And I think these are a lot of issues, and this should also be solved, besides getting better, of course, in digitalization.
Thank you for taking the time and providing all those insights in your work and all those projects that are, maybe hopefully soon are also making our lives in Germany a little bit easier. Thank you so much, and see you soon in Finland, probably.
Thank you, Daniel. Yeah. See you soon.
Many thanks. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. Did you enjoy the episode? Follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you prefer listening to your favorite podcast shows. Forward Thinkers is a 48 Forward podcast produced in the 48 Forward Studios in Munich.